I would first like to, you can keep passing out papers. God can multitask. So I just want to lift us up in prayer. Lord, I honor you. I'm thankful for the life that you have provided for me, my family, and my extended family. We are blessed and not cursed. Lord, I just speak to ears to hear, to hearts to be moldable, for feet that have an itching to do something for your kingdom. Mouths to speak, hands to build. I thank you that we are stirred up at this Point to Hope conference. And Lord, you are perfecting all of us. I thank you for your word that is in all of us. Lord, I just now lift up Diana Kinder right next door to us. Lord, we bonded 2 Mondays ago at a C8 meeting. It was a divine appointment. We got to love on each other. We didn't even know we'd be speaking at the same time. She is a wonderful woman. Lord, I just thank you that she is healed in body and mind and emotions, and those circumstances that you need to touch, you have already taken care of in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you, and amen. My workshop scripture is written there near the O Happy Day, Son. Psalm 138, 6 through 8. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For you, faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. I'm sure you've heard the saying and seen the signs, life is a journey, not a destination. Enjoy the ride. Sometimes we focus so much on what's there and forget what's around us. And there's so much to pay attention to, so many people to talk to notice, and sometimes ignore because we pay too much attention to some people. I need somebody who can be in charge, and Sharon, if you'd like to be teacherish with me today, let me know at 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and 40 minutes, and feel free to stop me anytime I am. You got that job? Okay, Carlos is going to do that for me. So I am a teacher by trade. I am a practicing school counselor now. I was in the math room for about 16 years, and for about 8 years now I've been in the school counselor's office. I'm the last of 6 kids. I have always lived in Wood County, right here in West Virginia, all over the county, but lived here, so I'm a local girl. So welcome to West Virginia, some of you out-of-towners. Y'all have beautiful states, too. Practice being present in the moment. So when I have professional meetings at school, we always have these rules that we have to follow. And one of them is always to basically some form of pay attention. So when Nancy's talking about, are you distracted? So what's going on in your body or what's going on in your head? What's keeping you from focusing on the word that you need to hear? That doesn't mean you can't have rabbit trails appropriately. That's fine. You're going to react to things I say or things you see or stuff that goes on around you. I mean, that's just being human. But practice being present in the moment. So when someone's talking to you, do you make eye contact? Do you turn physically towards them? Do you quiet your body language? Do you let them know that you're listening? That's important, and it's more important to some people than others. Like my husband says, look at me when I'm talking to you. You know, we can sometimes multitask, right? That means put down whatever you're doing, walk into the same room where he is, and listen to what he has to say and look him in the eye. You know? So practice being present in the moment. So what I'm going to do is at 10, 20, 30, and 40 is try and distract you. So when I got prepared for this message, I thought, okay, I want to play a series of songs. I actually have 27 that I downloaded. I'm not going to play them all for you, just four. So somewhere at 10, 20, 30, and 40, somebody is going to pick a number between 1 and 27, and we are going to play that selection of Oh Happy Day. Oh, there's a lot more than 27. But there's some good ones. There's some old ones. There's some, wow, one's called a thumper. That's a pastor whose nickname is Thumper. He really gets down on the bass. I don't get quiet because I don't have anything to say. I get quiet because I have too much to say. And I want to hear what God tells me to tell you. Because Tom came with a need today. Jeremy came with a need today. Jean came with a need today. And it is my responsibility to listen to Holy Spirit to help meet your need. So when I get quiet, I could go in all sorts of directions, but I want to choose what you need. So sometimes I have notes pages that are front and back filled up. God has really narrowed down what I put on there. My notes page in Ketchikan pretty much just had pictures. My notes page today still has a lot of pictures, doesn't it? Brené Brown is one of my new favorite authors. She is a doctoral researcher who is a well-respected speaker, an author. And these two quotes that I have in gray on each side at the bottom are from her. Her emphasis in research is shame. And how many of us have fallen under the enemy's spell for some sin or supposed sin or offense and took shame upon ourselves? Hey, I'm guilty. There's still stuff that God's digging out of me that I didn't even know I hadn't dealt with yet. So Brené Brown on the left says, and who would like to read for me?
Rising strong is a process and cannot be scripted. It is an individual as each of us and unique to each event. Brené Brown.
So Rising Strong is the title of one of her books. That's basically taking who you were, letting go of a lot that's happened in your life, and being the best person you can be. So what is Rising Strong? Rising Strong is letting go of junk, taking a chance on people, taking a chance on learning new skills, taking a chance on doing something new to be the best person you can be. That also means letting go of things that we've always done well. So just because we have always been the one to do it, sometimes it's somebody else's turn to take it over because that's their blooming ministry. Could you do it better when they first start? Probably. Should you help in an appropriate way for those who are doing something similar to you? Yes. You shouldn't be looking over their shoulder though, right, Tom? Telling them how to do everything every moment. How do you feel when somebody does that to you?
Inferior.
Oh. Go away, you know? Let me do it by myself. That's right. Obedience to the word of God is very important. Thanks, Carrie. On the right, another quote. Who would like to read that quote for us?
Those strong in relationships do not avoid emotions. They are feeling machines who think and engage with their own emotions and the emotions of those they parent and lead.
And even though we don't have biological children, we have children. There are always people that look up to us, ask us questions, want to know how they can get help with something. Kelly and I just got prophesied over in the past month or two, you will have many children. And then he says, oh, not natural ones. Well, we knew that. That would be a complete act of God. But many children, that means spiritual children, people for a short time and people for a long time. That means there is something exuded in you, Evelyn, that you said the atmosphere is out there, that they see the authority, that they know when they look at you, you're going to make things happen in a right way. So, Jeremy, even though you're young, that's your name, right? Okay, you tell me if it wasn't, right? Even though you're young, people will gather around you because you have the Holy Spirit. Because while you don't physically, neurologically know the answers, you don't have knowledge, you have wisdom that's imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. And people way older than you will be coming around to ask your advice. Be ready. People don't like to go to counseling, do they, Jean? They don't like to talk about their feelings and emotions. I feel. Well, I was told. No, it's I feel. I used to. No, I feel. So be present in the moment is sometimes doing a self-evaluation of what's going on with you right now. So why did you just have a reaction to somebody in the parking lot? Why did you look at something to eat on that buffet over there and think, oh my gosh, I want to eat that, but I can't. Why did I look at a shirt somebody's wearing and think, I wish I had enough money to buy that? We are making judgments all day long. Okay, Carlos says I'm at 10 minutes. Okay. Angie, give me a number between 1 and 27. 15. You know, want to know which one she picked? Pastor Thumper. Some of you thought that was really cool, and some of you just totally went on a total rabbit trail of music that you've known. Oh, man, I'd like to play that on the bass, and my brother Gene right here, I think he could learn that. Okay. We were talking about emotions, weren't we? And judging ourselves. Being a counselor, I'm all about emotions. It's hard for people to admit their true emotions. It really is. It is a practice skill. Some people have false emotions. Now, why do I say that? There are primary and secondary. Anger, fear, those are primary emotions, and those aren't really the roots. There's usually something behind it, like being ashamed. So you're feeling guilty. You're unknown. You don't like change. So there's lots of things that are hidden behind those. Those strong in relationships do not avoid emotions. So if you work with people, if you are a teacher, if you are an HR manager, if you are a greeter, if you deal with the public in any way, you deal with emotions. I sometimes go in to hairdressers and thank them for being counselors. They've been counselors for years. I go into the men and women who work the front desk at doctor's offices when people are crabby. Why can't I get in right now? Why can't you get me my medication? I called in and said I was coming. I go to them and I say, thank you for providing services for me. Thank you for helping me be healthy. I will wait as long as I need. Was that an eye roll? Has that happened to you before? Perfection. I don't like that word at all. That means I always have to be measured to a mark, and I'm always going to fall short. I cannot be perfect. He will perfect me. That is an active action. That is a process. That is a journey to a destination. I'm not going to have my destination until I go to be with the Lord. My journey all along the way is where he will be perfecting me. I can't reach it on this earth. You know, we're supposed to pull the kingdom down, have heaven on earth, and we will work on that until we go to actual heaven. I would love to see what Nancy describes on this earth. Grass that follows Jesus around. Gems that sparkle in the air in celebration of new converts. But we do see miracles. My brother's here today. My husband likes to say, don't miss the supernatural because you're looking for the spectacular. Did I get it right? Okay. Pretty close. It's not all bells and whistles. It's sometimes quiet. It's sometimes, I didn't feel very well this morning. But I feel good now. Yeah? I had an anxiety for someone in my family who is just fine, and it was unfounded. God put somebody on my heart. I texted them, and it was a timely word. I'd like to read Psalm 21. Kind of long. Oh, I'm one of those teachers who ask for participation. Would someone like to read Psalm 21 for us? Jeremy wants to read again?
It's on the left, honey.
Alrighty.
Right here.
Psalms 20. Oh, it's the whole thing. Okay. A Psalm of David. How the king rejoices in your strength. O Lord, he shouts with joy because you give him victory. For you have given him his heart's desire. You have withheld nothing he requested. Interlude. You welcomed him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of finest gold on his head. He asked you to preserve his life, and you granted his request. The days life stretched on forever. Your victory brings his great honor, and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. You have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. You will capture all your enemies. Your strong right hand will seize all who hate you. You will throw them in a flaming furnace when you appear. The Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will devour them. You will wipe the children from the face of the earth. They will never have descendants. Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed, for they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. Rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. A happy day lyrics.
Thank you. What word jumped out at you, or what phrase? Who's willing to share out of that long passage? What word jumped out at you?
Rise up. Because I think we as Christians have an obligation to stand up and rise up for the things of Christ and not back down, just like he does for us.
Kind of like the rising strong quote on the left. Who else?
Fire.
Fire, why?
Because it's burning. And it's something that, like, you know, comes out. It's heat. I'm getting somewhere, but I need some help.
Jeremy's on fire?
Not yet.
You want to be on fire. Okay. Who else has a reaction to one of the words or a phrase in Psalms 21?
Faith?
Yeah.
Faith. You have faith in Christ and you'll be healed and safe. And the truth will set you free at all times.
That's right. Thank you. Who else has a reaction?
I like that last verse where it says, we will sing and praise your power.
Why?
The most healing and breakthrough I ever get is through singing and praising his power.
So breakthrough and praise and worship. That's what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm getting the sign. Zoe, give me a number between 1 and 27 that is not 15. 4? Anybody know what this one's from? Yes. Whoopi Goldberg.
Happy day.
you know, happy day, didn't they? You know, this is a story. Oh, I probably should have this up here. This is a story of a private school, a private Catholic school, where kids had all sorts of things going on in their life, and they weren't very confident in their gifts. They had lots of other things going on in their life. And this singer who comes from a stage where I'm sure alcoholic beverages were served, where she sang to people, this diva on stage, she gets in trouble because somebody she's associated with, she has to go undercover. I mean, witness protection. So they put her at this school. And the storyline is that there is a big conversion in these kids. But it took a while. So what they learned in class, she saw that. But when they got out to perform, they didn't quite do that. So she went back to, okay, take your cue from me. Look at me. La, 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 la. We're like that, aren't we? We practice and we go to church and we learn how to do something and we get out there and, oh, it gets scary, doesn't it? I need Evelyn with me. I need Angie with me. I don't know if I can do it by myself. Joy, will you go with me? But Lisa, we have the Lord, the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and we are more than able. Because, you know, when we are out in that parking lot, maybe there's no one else around us, and there is a need. Sometimes we're just out for a motorcycle ride, and people can't or don't want to be on the back of the motorcycle, and you're definitely all by yourself when you come along in need. Right, Jean? Let's look at those lyrics. I like songs, too. My husband's all the time playing songs. We both are. If I don't have, the first thing in the morning, if I don't have the, I look at Max, our cat, on the floor, and I say, Max, what does the word of the Lord say today? So if I'm up first at the sink getting ready, then we listen to the word of the Lord. But if Kelly's up getting ready first, he's got music going. They're both great. He's got praise music going. I've got the word of the Lord going. It's all right. You need both, don't you? Right. You need both. Oh, happy day. I'm not always happy. So I like to focus on joy. So in Psalm 21, there was a focus on rising up, someone said, praising, fire. So when I got that drop down in my spirit from the Lord, because that wasn't given to me, Psalm 21, I saw the word arrow because it had to do with, you know, Nancy's theme. Joy, first verse. I've had to work hard on practicing being joyful because I'm not always happy. And it took me going to Ketchikan to have a change. And I am changed. I am joyful. I choose to be joyful no matter my circumstances. So I'm a school counselor, and I have in my office kids who help me, and I have in my office kids who I help. I mean, all day long. We've got at least one and as many as four in our office each period. My secretary and I both love and have high expectations for kids and help them be better. Or sometimes, you know, you have the high-achieving kids that know how to do everything, and they come in and help us too. Those days can be challenging when you're dealing with them, and then you have referrals. Other students are referring kids, adults are referring kids. But when I get overwhelmed with stuff I have to do that's every day, day to day, and then I have an emergency to take care of, you have to take care of the emergency. The other stuff just has to go by the wayside. But sometimes you just get bombarded with so much negative, because when you're the counselor, you know everybody's junk. Everybody wants to come dump on you their problems. And you know what? I listen. It is a safe place to come. But sometimes that can be overwhelming. So I was talking to her about it. I said, well, please excuse me, but I'll quote what I said. Am I just being pissy? Or do I really have a right to feel this way today? Because there was a series of events that was just very discouraging, and I was having not my normal reaction that I would. Empathic, compassionate, you know, let me help you. What can I do to help you? She said, nope, lots of stuff's going on. and you have to deal with it. But she says, this is what you do. And I even did it that day. You get tired of dealing with the negative, so you purposefully find something positive to focus on. You find a kid in class, in the hallway, and you tell them that you are proud of them about something. You make a positive phone call home to a grandma that never hears anything good about their grandchild. Or you make that hard phone call that takes, yes, 17 and a half minutes yesterday out of an explosion day that I'm trying to wrap up things so I can be gone today and be here. A 17-minute phone call, that doesn't seem like it's very long, does it? But out of a school day, that's a third of a period. A safety issue with one of my children. You just make the call because you have to investigate and find out information and then share what you need to share too. You take time. But I still choose to be joyful. Right, Joy? Yes. So those are the words that jumped out of Psalm 21. Am I at 30 minutes yet? Let's look at the lyrics. So I started out with Oh Happy Day, and I went back to Joy, and I went back to Psalm 21, and it's all getting wrapped in. When Jesus washed my sins away. Well, I missed that part, didn't I? Salvation is the beginning. There's a lot more to walking in this kingdom and being part of his New Testament church than just being saved. Now, this is where he's perfecting us. He taught me how to watch, fight, and pray. You mean I have to do all those things? Do you need to be a watchman? A watchman, a watchman. Do you have to know when the accuser's coming? Do you have to evaluate what happened to me in the middle of the night? Was it me or was it a tormentor? Do you have to be observant of those around you to see what they're going through, to see if they're under attack? And if they have given you permission to speak into their life, do you go to them and tell them those hard words? Watch. Fight. I'm just a girl. Oh, but I am a child of the Most High. I am a queen. My daddy sits on a throne and is all powerful. The enemy is only an angel. He is not a god. God is God, and he's already defeated the enemy. So anything that you believe from the enemy is lies. You are bought, loved, encouraged, and on your way to perfection. And live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy days to rejoicing every day. Again, the focus is joy. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness is a feeling. Happiness is, I like that peanut butter sandwich. I'm happy. Joy is, thank the Lord that I'm provided nourishment every day. You can choose to be joyful, even in circumstances that are unhappy. One minute? Huh? Okay. Debbie. Give me a number between 1 and 27 that is not 4 or 15. Mm-hmm. 23.
I'd like to ask the four young friends of mine, the Sadler brothers from the state of Virginia. They do a beautiful job on an old Southern spiritual. Mama, they sing about as good as Grandma Carter ever did. The Sadler brothers, what do you say?
Oh, happy day.
had quite a variety. I expected God to choose a variety of songs out of these 1 through 27, and you all have picked well. Because I saw Evelyn just roll backwards in her chair when she heard that one. Some people are like, okay, that is so old school. Put the hymnal away. Let's get out the new music. But some people prefer that version. And that's okay. Brother Victor would love that version. And that's all right. But did you turn it off? So be present in the moment. What's inside of you that is accepting or rejecting? It's the same song. It's the same lyrics. I bet you have a different reaction to each one I've played. Yeah? Yeah? And I have a variety on there. So the Statler Brothers. A lot of times they just sing a cappella too. Do we talk about instruments in or out of the church? I'm not today, but that's an issue for some people. But what's in you that's turning that off? What's in you that went to a memory about listening to the Statler Brothers? You know, I thought of Brother Victor. So, have I distracted you? Have you gone down a rabbit trail? Have you had a reaction to the point where you kind of tuned me off? Are you still trying to stay present in the moment? Mom, you still with us? Are you comfortable? It's easy to be distracted. I agree. Lots going on. Lots going on in everybody's lives. Right. It's hard to stay focused, but we have to. A lot of times it's fear of the unknown, fear of something that false evidence appearing real. I'm sure you've seen the statistics on most of what you worry about never comes to fruition, so why worry? Right? Yeah. So, perhaps, yeah, that could happen. We'll deal with it when it happens. Does that mean that you don't prepare? No, you prepare. Prepare for the worst, but expect the best. Have a contingency plan. When I counsel students when they're going off to school, if they don't already have an industry credential at the Career Center, are you going to college? Are you going to another institution of higher education? Do you have a family business? But for those kids that want to go to college, I tell them you need 6. Don't apply to more than 6 colleges. That's way too many to try and keep track of. 2 Cadillac, 2, oh yeah, that's probably what it's going to be, and 2 backups. Because stuff happens in your life. Should you apply to 24? No, that's way too many. Now, do you want to apply to Harvard and Yale just to see if you can get in? Well, if you want. Are you really going to go there? Well, that's just more work on you and your parents. And by the way, make sure you're being nice and tell them that you don't want to go there if you are accepted. So, however many you apply to, you need to get back with them to reject them. It happens. 6. That's not very many. Expect the best, but also plan for the worst. Psalm 149 is one that I haven't processed all the way yet. When I went to Ketchikan, I went with a need, and my Christian friends up there met me at my point of need and helped me see through some of the stuff I was going through, and they have wonderful encouragement, and one gentleman stopped me at the end and said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. God's not telling me anything. And then we ministered for a couple more days, and at the end of conference, he came up to me and he said, Psalm 149. He said, study it out. So I am sharing this with you to say, I'm not perfected in this. There is always something I can do well. There is always something that I don't know how to do at all. And then there's always something that I'm working on. So this is something that I'm working on. So who would like to read Psalm 149? The whole thing. It's only got 9 verses. You got Psalm 149? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
Okay, we just heard the word of the Lord. I'm sure, again, a sentence or a phrase jumped out. What jumped out? I don't mind pausing and walking over for the people on the perimeter. Sing praises. It doesn't matter. Just sing praises, right? Be joyous in all situations. Sing praises. So you already had that highlighted.
Yes.
Yes. So that already meant something to you. Yes. Which verse?
4.
For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Anybody else?
To me, you can praise and fight a good fight of faith at the same time.
You can be a praising warrior?
Amen.
Can praising be a form of warfare?
Yeah.
Yes. These two chapters are about understanding that we're real people. We go through stuff. But we can still be victorious. The Lord's got our back. Yeah? He is perfecting us. Even as we walk out our daily walk, he's perfecting us. Faithful. As I read it today, because that's a word Nancy's said twice to me today. She's faithful. So that jumps out. It's in there in this translation several times. Sing to the Lord a new song. Are you going to talk about the same testimony that happened 20 years ago? Or do you have a more recent testimony? Does your song even have to be a song? Can you share the wonderful works of the Lord? What's happened? What are you doing? What are you doing to be perfected? I'm going to share some things, and I'm not sharing these to be pharisaical. Now, that's a word based on Pharisee, like Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember that verse that talks about the one standing on the corner, wailing and weeping and praying out in the open so that they can show everybody that they are for the Lord. Well, they're getting their accolades there. So what I'm going to share is about what I am doing and how he's trying to perfect me and what I've decided, hey, I'm a child of God. Oh, we're at 40 minutes. I'll share that in a moment. The other Debbie. Some number between 1 and 27 that is not what? 23, 15, or 4? 17.
I got the distortion a little bit higher, just a little bit higher than maybe a standard classic clean blue sound. So here we go. Let's get started. Playing for Jesus Christ.
So this gentleman has a full beard with this like fishing hat on, and he is just really getting down on his guitar in this video. He is really playing for the Lord. Can we play a lead guitar and a bass guitar for the Lord, Gene? Absolutely. Can instruments and people playing an instrument be anointed of the Lord? Can you experience healing just by somebody really getting down on the sax? Yes. Praise with tambourines. Praise with voices. Praise with grooving guitars. Oh, happy day. I can't do that. I am not skilled on any instrument. I like to hum. I like to whistle. I like to sing. There are other people in my family that are gifted and can play instruments. I tried the piano, I'll be honest. It's hard to get both hands doing something different. It's hard. So what I learned out of that is I probably have other giftings, and I really have a greater appreciation for piano players. So I was sharing, let me know at 52. I definitely need to wrap it up by then. What am I doing now to be perfected? How is God perfecting me? What am I doing to walk out being obedient? How do I structure my day-to-day life, even though I'm busy? Just in this past week, I handwrote 6 letters to people. That takes effort and time. I bought 6 cards in Ketchikan thinking I'd write them then, and it's taken me a month to get them out, but I got them out. I can't even remember who I sent them all to right now, but it was who God told me to. I picked one up, and whoever I thought of, I sent it to them, and I wrote on it what God told me to write. I've taken 2 weekend trips with my brother and sister. We're all busy, but our family needed that. We needed that time. Every Thursday, except for yesterday, I had to reschedule. I visit Uncle Craig in the nursing home. He's 70 years old. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia years and years ago. If somebody in the teaching profession would interact with him, they might describe him as autistic. But I go every Thursday. I missed once near Christmas time when I wasn't there, and I missed once when I was in Ketchikan. Do you know what effort that takes to go every week? Every week. He expects me. Who else does he have? He has a brother and a sister. Brother lives local, that's my ex-husband, and his sister lives in Columbus, which is about 2 hours away. He lost both of his parents. I am not out preaching to 10,000 people every Wednesday or Thursday. I went Wednesday this week. I am witnessing and ministering to one man. Which is more important? Well, to me, it's the one man, because that's what I was told to do. I just changed the student's schedule for about the 20th time this year. Have you ever had to deal with someone and you have to keep helping them and keep helping them and they do the same thing? And you know what? You might have a, God help me, but you do it anyway. And I'm not joking, the 20th time. August. I take time for my parents. I try to go see them every week. I don't make it every week. Sometimes they visit me at church, and that's when I see them for their weekly visit. But I take time to stop by the house and spend some time with them. And if you do go visit mom and dad, dad likes treats. Just a warning. So I took him some pepperoni rolls last time, and as he's eating him, he says, "Where's my ice cream?" Because I took him ice cream the two previous times. But he did appreciate the pepperoni rolls too. I drive 41 miles one way to work. I love my job. I love my school district. I love my students. I love the people I work with, or with which I work. I have discovered that God and I have some really good times in that 45 minutes or an hour that takes me to get there. And if I miss that time, I'll be bluntly honest. If I don't have to go to work, I don't do all those God times every day. I'll just be honest. I need to focus on that. Set aside time. I can't do anything else but listen to the radio. So I listen to podcasts. I listen to sermons. I listen to books. So 41 miles isn't so bad after all. On one of the toughest weeks of my life this year, when you would think that a family would be at rock bottom and the little sister wouldn't be able to get out of bed, I got up in the middle of the night and wrote how a church is a powerhouse. That was like a 6-page sermon. I took it to Pastor Darren that Sunday morning. Not to preach it that day, but just to show him, because he'd said, if you have something, bring it to me. And I did. And just that week, he had been told, Beth's got something to give the church. She has an encouragement to give the church. Oh, but God, this is a hard week for her. How could I ask her to do that? So when I present him with that lesson, he knew I could get up and encourage the church. And guess what? I did. Have you noticed that what I've been reading deals a lot with people? Have you noticed that what I've read as being obedient and doing the works of the Lord has a lot to do with people? That's my gifting. I have a brother-in-law that can build. I have a sister in Christ that is an excellent administrator. I have a sister that can paint. I have a sister that can cook. But those all have to deal with people too, don't they? So it doesn't matter what you do, what your skill, what your gifting is. God's always perfecting you. So what is it in you in this season of your life that you need to put down and let somebody else do? What is it that you need to accept the wisdom of Holy Spirit to change in your life now, and what is it that you have to believe for the future? So this picture at the bottom, on the right, that's a reminder of faith. I was presented with a rock that said faith, and I accidentally broke it. And it was glued back together for me, but it was kind of symbolic of what was happening right then. I still have that rock, damaged, chipped, glued back together, but my faith is still there. And on the left, that is Elijah and Elisha. So, while I don't think of myself as Christ, because Elijah is John the Baptist and Elisha is Christ, that's not what I'm focusing on in this story. I'm focusing on, I am plowing that field. I am out there doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and somebody comes along and says, hey, there's a higher calling for you. I go kiss my parents. I slaughter that oxen that was pulling my plow, have a big feast, and I go walk about with Elijah. Where are you? What do you need to let go? What do you need to change? And what do you need to look forward to? I believe in a big calling on all of our lives, Evelyn. That's hard to say because that's big expectations. That's a lot of obedience and that's a lot of cleaning out junk in ourselves. I'm almost finished. Is she in the other one? So, you don't get to leave without homework. Do you have a writing utensil? Flip your paper over. So what did I ask you to focus on? This last part, while I had you be present in the moment, while I tried to distract you with so many different versions of Oh Happy Day, what do you need to let go of? What do you need to change? And what do you need to believe for? Oh, we've got electronic pins. That works too. What you need to let go of, what do you need to change, and what do you need to believe for? And some of you will write and hide it. Some of you won't write at all because you don't want to be confronted with those questions. And some of you will write it and boldly show it to everybody. What do you need to let go of, stop doing, cut out of your life? So that's like the present, what stuff that you've been doing for a long time. In the present, what do you need to change about what you're doing right now? That could be a mindset. That could be an action. That could be a relationship. And what are you believing for the future? There is a call. There is a destiny. There's something grandiose that scares your pants off. So what's your Elijah moment?